Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad each one of you are here. Looks like our number's a little bit off today, but I understand we've had power outages and all kinds of things going on, so that might be contributing to that, but we're glad you're here. We're thankful for each and every one. Today, of course, we're here now. Tuesday, the mission team will meet, and then Wednesday night, we will have our regular Wednesday night services and choir rehearsal at 7:45. I want to make one more announcement on any information we need for the directory. I think most of you filled it out, but if there's anyone that has not, there's some baskets in back that have the purple sheets in them. I want to try to get them all up next Sunday and get this thing finished. So let's try to get what we can today and next Sunday. I appreciate all the information everybody's given. Also, don't forget the little collection for Operation Christmas Child, the papers that were in the bulletin a while back for flip-flops, hats, book, drawstring bags, and flashlights. So collecting for 2 to 4 year olds, so remember that if you have not done something already. Does anyone else have an announcement this morning? Let's please remember the people on our prayer list, and we've had to add some this morning, so remember everybody. And if nobody else has anything, let's turn to hymn number 425 and stand as we sing, He Keeps Me Singing. We will do stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Let's all stand.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The song right before this song we sang was Heavenly Sunlight. And I know it's gray outside, but I tell you, if you have the sunlight in your soul, you can have a bright day. And we can always look up through that by faith. I'm thankful for what Paul said. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He always has his eye on the sun. And so God wants us to know that when you feel you're at your lowest, He can be your all. And so we want to trust Him to be our welcome visitor today. Bow with me as we pray. Father, we're so thankful, Father, for the grace of God that's unending, and Father, for your promises, which are all yes in Christ. We thank you, Father, that you never slumber, nor are you ever weakened. But, Father, we look to thee, Father, by faith in all that we need. We lay our cares at your feet, and, Father, we pray that your presence of the Holy Spirit might fill, Father, each heart here today, Father, with your presence and with your love. And, Father, may we all be looking to thee, Father, as the author, the finisher of our faith. Father, bless your preacher today as he stands before us, and we're so thankful he's back. We thank you, Father, for all the word, which is ever true. Father, meet the needs of the people, and, Father, bless the offering which is before us. And we'll give you praise ahead of time for what you'll do, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Good to have Dan back with us today. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day, Father. You created and placed each one of us here, Father. We just pray that your presence, your spirit, Father, will just indwell us and open our hearts to hear your message from Pastor Greg, Father. We pray that you'll strengthen him, give him the power to speak with boldness, Father, your truth, Father. We thank you, Father, for all you do for us. We thank you, Jesus, for just bearing our sins and conquering death for us, Father. We pray that that peace will indwell in our hearts and just give us sound mind, Father, for the glory for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 606.
Thank you.
greet each other as the children come for the children's sermon.
Everybody, how are you today? Glad you're here. So we just celebrated, or some people just celebrated something on Friday. What do we celebrate?
Valentine's Day.
That's right, Valentine's Day. And usually, what do a lot of people talk about on Valentine's Day? Well, that's a good one, Thomas. I like that. Love, that's right. Who you love, who your buddy is, who you want to be your Valentine. But what I'm here to do is talk about just what Thomas said, about the true love of Jesus, because really, who created love? That's right, Jesus, God did. That's right, he is the actual definition of love. So I have these little hearts that I gave to you guys today. I want you today, or sometime this week, if there's somebody that you know that may not know Jesus, I want you to give them the heart and say, have you ever given your heart to Jesus? Because it says in the Bible, in John, all of us know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know how to show Jesus love? How do you think, Josie?
Be kind.
It's right, be kind. But do you know the true way to show Jesus love? To give him your heart. Jesus just wants you to love him, so because he loves you so much that he gave his life so that you can live with him forever. That's what true love is. Before I pray for us to close, I want to know, would anybody like to pray to give Jesus their heart for the first time? Have you given Jesus your heart before, Josie? No, that's good. Thomas, you gave Jesus your heart before, huh? Good job, buddy. Josie, would there be anybody else you'd like to pray with up here with you? Would you like to bring Mama up here while you accept Jesus as your Savior? Yeah. If Mama would like to come. Do you want to stand up, Josie, and give Mama a hug? That's awesome. Okay, Josie, you ready? You want to say a prayer with me? Okay, say, Dear God.
Yeah, dear God.
I know that I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And I confess my sins to you.
I confess my sins to you.
I know that you died for us on the cross.
I know you died for me on the cross.
And I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept my Lord for your Savior.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing. It's great to be. Good job, Josie. Okay, guys, I'm going to pray for you guys this week to have the same boldness to go share your heart with somebody today. It doesn't have to be your friend or a girl. It could be your grandparents, too. It's okay. They need Jesus just as much, okay? Let's pray together. Grace, tell me, Lord, I just give you the praise and the honor for Josie that all the angels are singing today because there's another lost soul that have come to find you, Lord. We just give you the honor and the glory. I just pray for every one of these children that they may have the boldness to share your love in their community and in their schools and the people they love. We just give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We invite you
to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 7, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. You can follow along or you can sing along.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful, beautiful sight. All you folks up front, all those in the back building, I'm taking it on good authority that you're beautiful today too. But glad we're all gathered together. I'm glad at least this bunch of us didn't get blown away. There was a lot of wind and weather and power outages. We have illness, but God is good. What a joy to be back here. Brother Dan, so glad to have you back. It's been rough on fellas our age lately. Would you ever believe that being 35 was going to be this rough? Never dreamed, but glad to have Dan and Chris back. It's been a rough start for them, but we are back together today, and there's so much cause for celebration. This truly is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice. We're going to worship and be glad in it. And I'm still getting used to being back in the pulpit after such a long absence, but I am so grateful for your continued prayers and your support. What a blessing you are. I hope you've had a good week. I hope you've avoided all the sickness. If you have been among the sick, it's good to see you on the mend and back here with us. And I'm glad you're here today. Forsaking not the assembling together has been the custom of some, but rather joyfully gathering together for sweet worship today. And that's what we're here for. Amen. I love church. I hope you do too. I look forward to our gatherings always. All right, the message title today, this is going to sound sort of like a Christmas sermon. And that's about how long I've had it on my mind. I generally pray about sermons maybe a week or so, but I had a lot of time to rest and pray and meditate, and I've done that on this one. Prince of Peace, that's the title, Prince of Peace. You don't hear that much outside the reading of Isaiah 9:6 at Christmas, but you know what? This ought to be on our minds all the time. This title, this name ascribed to Jesus our Lord. In the book of Isaiah, in that before-mentioned passage 9:6, the prophet first introduces us to a few titles, names that would be attached to the coming Messiah. And in his foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, he said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and the one we're going to look at today, Prince of Peace. I love that title. And I think of all the names and titles of Jesus, this one, Prince of Peace, means the most to me right now. Think about this a little bit. How we need peace in this chaotic world. In Dan and I's 35 years of being around, I don't know if it's ever been worse. I can't remember a worse time that the world has seen, but it'd be impossible not to notice just how bad things are. It'd be impossible not to notice how badly we need peace. And so, oh, how happy I am that we have the Prince of Peace, Jesus our Lord, that we might look to Him. For when Jesus came, church, hope came. The angel spoke of it at Jesus' birth. Again, we're going back to a Christmas sermon for a moment. In Luke 2:14, you remember what the angel said? They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He's well pleased." Peace. And I thought about that. Just what it says there, the angel's message, the angel's song, what a wonderful message, what a sweet refrain. We sing of it at Christmas, in Christmas songs. We hear of it often in the Christmas messages. We read it on Christmas cards. We see it in church signs. Occasionally, you might even see an ad somewhere that says, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." But it seems the further, church, we get from Christmas, the further this is from man's mind, this idea of peace that Christ brings. My friends, peace is not a Christmas-only kind of thing. Peace, I want you to understand this, is taught in the Bible from beginning to end. I stopped and I counted them all. No, I didn't. But here's what a better source told me. You're going to find peace over 420 times in about 400 different verses. What does that tell you? That tells me it's that important to God, and it ought to be that important to us too. Amen? Think about this. Psalms 34:14, we're taught, "Seek peace, pursue it." Psalms 122:6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." How profound is that today? And Romans 12:18, "In as much as is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And then 1 Thessalonians 4, "Aspire to live a quiet life, a peaceful life." That's four out of that 420, but the point is clear. Pursue peace, amen? It's easy, right? Easiest thing in the world to pursue peace. On your own, no, it's not easy, because you can't buy it. And you can't fabricate peace. You can only acquire it one way. But it's good that we have that one way. It's not to be found in and of the world. It can only be found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin, found in a humble manger at birth, but also destined for a cross. And on that cross, He became our Savior, and He became the author of our peace. Amen? And so that's where we've got to look. That's where we'll find peace. For there's no other name in which peace may be found except for the name of Jesus. Amen? Our Prince of Peace. Okay, so today, through a few simple points, what I promised to try to make a short but meaningful service, I want to show you how to find, embrace, and apply the peace that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has in mind for you. And may it begin to permeate your hearts and permeate your souls. And not just at Christmas, but now and at all times, and certainly in these times when peace appears to be so elusive in the world. And so if that sounds good to you, if that sounds like something you're longing for, if that's something that's missing in your life, as the sun begins to stream through these windows, turn with me this morning and we'll look at John's gospel. We're going to start with John chapter 14 and we're going to look at verse 27. We'll be looking at several verses today. This will be our first point, and it's what we'll use to get started. But look at that verse. Let me know when you got it. Wave, shout, holler, praise the Lord. All right. And this is Jesus speaking. This is authority. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He said, "Neither let them be afraid." Amen? Amen. All right, so turn to that person beside you. And this is a two-parter, so you have to work with me here. Look to the person beside you and say, "Can you believe he's preaching a Christmas message at Valentine's Day?" And then this is really important. This is a good part. Say, "I think he hit his head when he fell." Yeah. He might have. Stephanie would say that happened years ago. The damage was long done. Bless her heart. Next week will be 40 years together, so she's got a lot of testimony to give. Anyway, all right, so if you will, bow with me and we'll pray. God, our Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. We realize many are absent for illness, for damage, for many different things, but Lord, you gathered this group today, those that you had it in your mind to have here today. So let us, Lord, take this message personally. Let's take it to heart. Let's apply it to our lives. Let's see what it is that you need for us to grasp today. Lord, we'll trust you in all things. We'll praise you for what's accomplished. We're already grateful for Miss Josie and what she shared with us today. What a blessing that is. So, Father, guide us in our time together. And it's through Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we think about peace today, what is peace to you? How would you define peace? Is it an absence of troubles in the world? Is it a calm that you feel around you? Is it dependent upon what you see on the evening news, whether you have peace? Is it affected by storms and wildfires? Does political unrest bother you? What is it that erodes your sense of peace? My friends, the peace we consider today, it's not about the absence of these things, not at all. No, it's about this calming and soothing, reassuring presence of Jesus within you. It's an internal thing that ends up manifesting outward. And it's not dependent upon what the current world situation is, but rather in spite of it. And it's a voice that says, and pay attention because you hear this several times a day, you may have troubles, but troubles don't have you. Amen? All right, I remember Jesus. And you know this story, Jesus in a certain boat late one night, and there was a storm raging all around Jesus at that moment. And yet he slept peacefully in the boat. All those around him were troubled. They were concerned, but he slept in that boat. There may have been trouble all around Jesus that night, but the trouble did not disquiet his soul or disturb his slumber. And I want you to think about that because that's the peace, my friends, the peace that only Jesus Christ can supply. And Scripture has so much to say about that. Again, as we said earlier, it's referenced 420 times from Genesis to the book of the Revelation. It was always, always God's intent for us, always that there would be peace, peace around us and peace within us. But something happened. We all know that story too. Peace was interrupted in the Garden of Eden when sin entered the world. And it won't be restored again until all is made new in the great day we look forward to. But in the in-between time, it can only be found within and only in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? And so today I want us to learn from the Prince of Peace how we go about receiving that peace. And so if you still have your place there in John 14, let's listen again to these words of Jesus. And I'll read them again to you. When Jesus said this, he looked at those disciples that he was talking to that day and he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." That's critical. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Okay, so what I want you to know here is Jesus is comforting a group with whom he spent the better part of 3 years. In those 3 years, this group of men has come to know him and come to rely on him and certainly come to find security in him. But he has told them that he would soon depart from them. And at that moment, that sense of security that they had known would be challenged greatly. The peace they had known in his presence would soon be rattled in his absence by many external factors. And you can guess what those were. Think about it: his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, his death, the persecution they themselves would soon face. Jesus knew this. He knew what was happening. And in these words we're about to consider, he made them a promise. It was as if he looked at them and said, "I know what you'll need and I'm supplying it." So he said this to them. He said, "Peace I leave with you. Now, I spend enough time with you, and I'm aware enough of what's going on in your lives, what's happening among the Bear Creek family, to know this. There are times when your sense of security has been challenged. Any of us, all of us, when things happen to you, the things that are happening around you, can rob you of your peace. And look, try as you might, you'll not find peace in anything the world can offer. Just try it and see. There's no amount of self-help books. They're not going to work. No kind of pills, no kind of potions or counselors or gadgets or phone apps that help you go to sleep at night. None of those things. If they seem to help for a minute, I promise you this, that minute will soon pass and you're right back where you were. And so, what are we supposed to do, church? What's the answer? It ain't complicated. Look a little higher. Look to Jesus. There's where you'll find your answer. Notice what Jesus says next in the verse. He said, and I'm going to highlight this again, my peace I give to you. My peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you. My peace. That peace of Jesus within. My friends, the world offers only the temporary, the superficial, maybe better said the artificial, at best a cheap imitation of what Jesus supplies. Amen. Jesus says, I'm not giving you a peace, I'm giving you my peace. That's a special peace. It's the same peace that let him sleep in that old boat that night in the storm. That's a different kind of peace. A peace that was unhindered by what was going on around him. And couldn't you just use some of that these days? That kind of peace, church? Wouldn't that be special? Wouldn't that be different? Wouldn't it be nice to lay your head down and rest in spite of all that was shared on the news? Wouldn't it make no difference to you what the doctor told you that day, regardless of what the weather forecast was, no matter what was happening in D.C., bless their hearts? Doesn't matter about all that. Church, you could lay aside all you've tried and has failed you, and you can take up what Jesus has offered you, the very peace that comes from the Prince of Peace himself. Think about this. I read this week. It's the peace he brought in the flesh, the peace he carried within himself, the peace he died to impart to you and I, the peace, as it has been said, that is our heritage. It's the peace that is maintained by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us. Amen? There's no other peace like the peace of God. Church, give me that peace. Amen. That's the one I desire. Notice then as the verse concludes, what happens when you have that peace? Jesus described it. He said, just go ahead and let not your hearts be troubled. You don't need to be afraid. You got something different. Put it another way is simply this. I have the peace of God and I ain't scared. Amen. Think about that. Y'all, let's say that with me. Ready? I have the peace of God and I ain't scared. Now, don't that feel good? Claim that every day. That is yours, church. That's the promise from Jesus. Remind yourself of that every time troubles or fears try to rattle you. They'll try. Remind yourself, no. I got the peace of God, and I ain't scared. Brothers and sisters, you may have troubles. I said it once. We're going to say it a couple more times. You may have troubles, but troubles don't have you. Amen? Let me show you something else Jesus said about all this. We'll make you flip pages a little bit. This is a short one. This is a short trip. Go over to John 16. All these chapters sort of tie together because this is Jesus sort of parting words to the disciples, but it all ties together here. But I really want you to get this today. I really want you to leave here with a confident understanding of the peace that Christ supplies. So John 16, once you get there, verse 33. Pages turning, the prettiest sound in the world. All right. Here's what it says. This is Jesus' words. He's continuing to speak to this group of men. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. He said, in this world you will, and you can circle will, you will have tribulation. That's just a fact of life. But take heart or be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. Now, church, there's purpose in every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. I want you to understand that. Jesus was clear about that in Matthew 4:4. Our bread of life is every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. And there's purpose here, too. Jesus said here, he said, I have said these things to you for a reason. So first thing there, what things? What was he talking about when he said these things? Everything in these last few chapters, all the preparations and warning that he's given these men before he leaves them. And in them, Jesus has been preparing his disciples for that departure, and for what they would soon face when he was no longer with them physically. Secondly is this, he was providing them what they would need in his physical absence. He knew the greatest need they would have. They would most certainly need the promised helper, the Holy Spirit, the verily indwelling presence of God himself. And through this, what would they have? Peace. We need that peace. And let me tell you something. Nothing the disciples would face during that time would be a surprise to Jesus. I want you to know nothing would sneak up on Jesus. Nothing would catch him unaware in regard to what awaited these disciples. Trouble was coming, and Jesus in his omniscience knew it. But I want you to understand this today too, church, because you can personalize this same verse. You can understand Jesus is speaking the same words to each one of you. You can be confident that none of what you're facing, enduring, or dealing with has caught Jesus unaware. Wildfires, mudslides, hurricanes, tornadoes, egg shortages, flu epidemics, husbands who forgot Friday was Valentine's Day. Amen? Not sickness or family problems or any of the things that you might personally add to the list. He has said all this to you today. The words of this message, the words found in this scripture, that you too might have what you need in the face of all these troubles. Jesus has said all this to you today, that in him, church, each and every one of you, you may have peace. Amen. And Jesus continued in this verse. He said, yes. He said, in this world, circle it. You will have tribulation. That's just the way it is. The world is coming to an inevitable end, and it won't get any better. Praise be to God. We won't see it because of the rapture, but there's a worst coming. But left off right there, this would hardly be an encouraging message, but think about this. Jesus finished here with great encouragement. Look at the end of the verse. He said, but take heart. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's the good stuff. And with Christ within you, with Jesus as your Savior and Lord, my friends, you are also overcomers. Think about that. Jesus conquered sin in order that you could. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave so that you could. And Jesus has overcome this world for the same purpose, so that you, his well-loved, faithful children, could also be overcomers in this world. Amen? Let me tell you something, my friends, and you can lean in because I really want you to get this. It doesn't matter what you're facing today. It doesn't matter how bad it seems, how bad it looks. It doesn't matter what's causing you distress. Because of the promise found in the verses we looked at today, even the most troubled soul can find peace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Most troubled souls. For as we've already determined, peace isn't the absence of chaos. It isn't the absence of trouble swirling around you. No, my friends, peace is the presence of Christ within you despite of the chaos and the troubles. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you something. When you get this and embrace this and understand this, you can say with all confidence, as we've already said, I may have troubles, but troubles don't have me. Say it with me, church. I may have troubles, but troubles don't have me. Isn't it wonderful, church, to be a child of God?
Amen.
That's how you get that. You better know it. You better know it. It's the greatest thing in the world to be a child of God. Let me show you one more thing to do, and then we'll find our way to a conclusion. But I want you to turn over to the book of Philippians for a moment. Once you get there, look for chapter 4. We're going to look at just briefly at just two verses, 6 and 7, because these are what I'd call just some daily practical life application instructions to help you maintain the peace that we've looked at today. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. This is Apostle Paul preaching to the church in Philippi. Got it? All right, here's what he said. This is Paul speaking. He said, do not be anxious about anything. He said, rather, in everything, by prayer and supplication. That's important. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and a beautiful, wonderful thing happens, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I thought about this a little while. I said, most of us are creatures of habit. By necessity of schedule or ritual, there are some daily repeated behaviors or habits for most folk. Breakfast, shower, exercise, newspaper, kids off to school, you off to work, in your all above. Maybe your schedule looks a little different. But all these things are important, some quite necessary. But in that list, what's missing? This is critical. Paul said it here in this verse. He highlighted time with God before you rush into your day. A daily devotion and absolutely non-negotiably time spent in prayer. I believe here in this passage, Paul wasn't, I don't think, making a suggestion. I don't believe this. So let me run this by you and y'all try it if you want to. I think he was directing us with confident expectation we would do these things. He said, rather than being anxious, rather than being concerned with schedules and chores and trials and troubles and bad news on the news, he said what? Take it all to the Lord in prayer. That's a better idea. Every minute spent worrying is better spent praying, right? And it's big things and little things and all things. Talk about it to God. Pour out your heart to Him. And you do so with gratitude, thankfulness, that you can take it all to Him, and that He hears you, and that He cares for you, and that He'll answer you. And then a wonderful thing happens. What does He say there? Peace, my friends. The peace of God that Jesus promised. A peace so great. He said it's beyond comprehension, beyond all understanding. A peace that washes over you. A peace that guards both your heart and your mind. A peace we enjoy through our closeness, our relationship with Jesus. Ain't you glad? Yes, amen. We ought to be glad. My friends, the ruler of this world, and I'm talking about the secular world, would love nothing more than to disrupt your peace and fill your heart with worries and fears and anxiety. But there's a happy conclusion, and it's just this. The ruler of this world has no power over the Prince of Peace. As Jesus said in John 14:10, He has no claim on me. Go back and read that one. Beautiful. John 14:30, rather. And in fact, Jesus also said this. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He's ruler over it all. And so, and even especially over the one who seeks to rob you of your joy, the one who seeks to steal your peace. And so we run to Him. We run to Jesus. And we trust in Jesus. And we remain close to Jesus. And that great and awesome peace, the peace of God so far beyond our understanding, guards our tender hearts and protects our so easily misled minds from that enemy who seeks only to steal, kill, and destroy. Guards us, protects us. And church, I'll ever be grateful for the Prince of Peace. Oh, I hope you feel that same way too. I hope you feel the same. And I hope you embrace the promise. And I hope you enjoy the peace He provides. He's there for us. He's there to protect us. He's there to keep us. So today, as we come to this time of invitation, if I've spoken today of something you don't have, something you've never experienced, this peace of God, and if it's something you want, why not come? Why not get it today? Why not surrender your will and your way and lay those things at the feet of Jesus? Why not say, I'm done with doing this on my own. And I want all that the Prince of Peace has to offer. I want Jesus as my Savior. And I want Him to take control. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I want to really know for the first time what it's like. If you've never experienced it, I want to know for the first time what it's like to have a peace beyond understanding. It's so great I can't explain it. Would be your testimony. I want Him to take control and be Lord of my life. And if that's you, brother or sister, come to Jesus today and leave with something that you came today lacking. Leave with peace. And I may be speaking to somebody else. If you've already done all that, if you've already made that decision, you've already accepted Christ, you have that. But through life circumstances, bad decisions, maybe you've gotten away from a right relationship with Jesus and you've lost that great peace. Look, Jesus stands ready to restore you, stands ready to receive you. And so why not come at this sacred hour? Why not make it right today? And if God has led you here to make this your church home and you know it to be true, why not settle it today? There's no better time than now. I'm going to pray today, and the altar is yours to make the decisions you need to make as the Lord leads you. We're going to sing Jesus is tenderly calling, because Jesus is always tenderly calling. He's always speaking to our hearts. So bow with me for prayer. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the peace that You supply. Lord, without You, it wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have an option. We wouldn't have a hope. We'd seek for something we'd never find, but because of You, there is peace. So, Father, for those today who are struggling with decisions that might need to be made, help them, Lord. Grant them the boldness, the courage, the confidence, the strength to step out, trust in You. Lord, let them already begin to feel that peace, the peace that says, yeah, I can make that decision. Yeah, I can walk that aisle. Yeah, I can do this. Father, whatever needs to be done today, this is Your altar. This is Your time. Lord, have Your own way with us as Jesus is tenderly calling us. Father, through Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hymn number 316. Jesus is tender.
Continue to listen as he calls out to you, as he speaks to you daily. He does. Sometimes we are just not quiet enough to hear it. Look for those quiet places and listen for Jesus and let him bring you that peace. Has it been good to be in God's house today?
Amen.
What a blessing, what a joy. And I am so very proud of Miss Josie for her boldness to speak up and to speak out like that. And I'm so proud of that family. What a great young family, raising their children up in the way they should go. And you see in the benefits of that. So make sure, is Josie in here or she go to the back? She in the back. When you get a chance, make sure you congratulate that child and congratulate this family. And Rodney will be following up and seeing what further things need to be done to help them along in this. But what a joy it's been. So I'm gonna stop right there before I run out of voice. And I'm going to ask Brother Paul, do you mind coming and leading us in our closing prayer today? I haven't got to hear Paul pray in a long time. Thank you, brother.
Oh, don't we have a wonderful Savior? And I love hearing you say amen, because he is truly wonderful. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he gives life, eternal life, to all that put their faith in him. And he gives us peace, even though things may be swirling about, the troubles. We know that nothing can enter our lives without his permission, without his direction. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank you that he gives us the peace of salvation. He gives us the peace that we're in the palm of his hand and no one can pluck us out of his hand. And he gives us peace with every trial that comes into our lives, knowing that it's in his love, and these things are used to develop us, And Father, we pray that you would help us to be faithful witnesses to others, to share the peace, the salvation we have with those whom you bring into our paths. For it's in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.